This is the Top Agents Playbook Podcast, episode number 9.
Welcome to the Top Agents Playbook Podcast, your source for the very best tools, tips, and ideas used by real estate's top performers. Now here's your host, Ray Wood.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm speaking with Nicole Bragg, and Nicole is the owner-broker at Bragg Real Estate in Cairns, far north Queensland. Nicole's a mum of two, and she started her real estate business from scratch. Good morning, Nicole.
Hey, Ray, how are you?
Very well, thank you, and thank you for joining me.
Thanks for asking.
I've got a heap of questions to ask you, but I really want to start at the start. Can you just backtrack a little bit? Tell me about how you first got into real estate, when you got into it, and kind of what you learned. And I guess I'm really interested in the journey, like a lot of people listening to this right now, interested in the journey from you starting to the point where you are now owning your own successful business.
Yeah, well, look, I started real estate off pretty, no different to really what how anyone else would start off in real estate.
Okay.
The tricky part was 2 years after I started, I then started having my family, and I've got two kids now, which are 9 and 7. And it was really just the hardest part that I've found to where I've got to today was the juggle between being a mum and being a real estate agent. And I sort of felt like that I had 8 years of chaos. And honestly, I could probably say that since 2013 is the first time that I really feel like I'm now a real estate agent. And a lot changed pretty much from 2013.
Okay. What can you track down what the biggest change would be, the most substantial change? What was the big influencer?
Yeah, it was the chaos and me not enjoying the chaos and realising that I couldn't keep running at the pace that I was, and I wouldn't be able to sustain that as a life, you know, a lifelong career. So in 2013, I decided to just slow it down, and I took 12 months where I stepped back out of my business, and I decided, you know, that I was just going to implement a few things, prioritise a few things, you know, do things like plan my school holidays and have structure in my business and stick to those things. And Ray, really, it was really about keeping it simple, because I didn't have time to make it complex.
It's interesting because when you talk about the chaos, is the chaos around you being unorganized, or did you feel unorganized?
I had no structure in place, so it was, you know, I didn't have a CRM. I was doing like really quite big numbers. I was over, you know, I was earning over 300K. I didn't have a PA, but I think it was the guilt. Yeah, I think it really, more than anything, it was the guilt of not doing enough and not giving enough and being enough for your kids.
Yeah, yeah. You were kind of torn between your role as an agent and as a mum.
Yeah, because, you know, it was like, well, am I doing enough for my clients? Am I doing enough for my husband? Am I doing enough for my family? So that was really, really hard. And I can't say that I enjoyed, but really, essentially, it was 5 years. I was sleep deprived, but was I unorganized? I was, because there was no structure in place. But I still offered everything I did today, but it was, you know, it was just sort of, yeah, it was just chaos.
Tell me, why did you go out on your own? I know we've had this chat, and I want to hear your answer again, because I like the way you had the vision. But tell me, what was the catalyst for that?
Well, as I said, like in 2013, I changed what I was what I was doing. I knew that I didn't want to be that real estate agent anymore. And I'd worked through how to change the, you know, like all the chaos that was going on in my life. And once I had done that, my vision kind of just progressed. The company I was currently working for, great boss. I had a fantastic split. I really had no reason to change, except for the fact that I had sorted everything out in my life, and I was offering I now didn't feel guilty that I was offering my sellers the best service, and I was doing, I was doing great things within the community, but the brand that I was standing behind, it didn't suit what I was offering.
Right. You didn't feel it was a match?
It wasn't a match, and even though they were fantastic, like, I didn't even like the colours of the brand.
Right.
And, it's like, I don't know, I guess anyone that knows me, knows that I love high heels, and it's just like me coming to work with flats on. it's just not right.
Okay.
And, what I realised is the more I believed in what I was offering, and it wasn't matching to the brand, it started becoming a problem, and I knew that I had to change something with it. I'd already worked remotely, and I now was disciplined. I'd got rid of the chaos. I was no longer guilty. I'd ironed out everything that was my issues, and then it was just, I had to open my own office because I really wanted people to see the brand, of actually who I was.
Yeah, yeah. And that sounds like it was a personal mission as well, was it?
Yeah, definitely, because I actually had no issues with the former company I worked with, in the sense of no personal business issues at all.
Did you move? Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, they would allow me to tweak things with the branding, but it got to the stage I wanted to change everything.
Yeah.
And it was one day I realised that I kept trying to change their baby, and that was causing arguments between myself and my principal. And I can, now being a business owner, I get it.
Yes. Yeah. So when that day came, tell me about how long did it take from when you made the decision to when you opened your door?
It took about 4 months. So it was 4 months. So what
it was pretty
happened
quick.
Is, yeah, I had moved into a brand new farm area. I had an opportunity to open up an office, which I was working as the former company. Unfortunately, they wouldn't allow me to do, any branding outside, no signage outside. And that, I didn't understand that I couldn't create that leverage, within that farm area, because I wasn't even allowed to put an open sign out the front of my business.
Yeah, yeah.
So that, it was 4 months of fighting, of going like, why not, why can't I, and it was a bit of a no-brainer. So everything, all the branding that I had changed and that I wanted to change for the former company, I just flipped straight back over to Bragg Real Estate. Does that make sense?
Like, yeah.
So I hadn't actually marketed or had done any of the branding showing, Bragg Real Estate, but the concept, I had already made all of that.
So when you started, when you kicked off, it was just you, and did you kick off in the same area where you were working, or did you choose a new location?
Yeah, brand new location. I didn't sell in this area at all.
Right.
I had sold on the southern side of Cairns, which, I was a couple of suburbs over, but in the estate that I am now in, had never sold. There was an agent that had really good market share. I liked what he did and I respected, so I didn't farm in that area. Now that I had the office that was in the entry and the exit of the area, I had to start farming this area. So, it was from a dead start, pretty much, and that was from May.
Okay, and that was from May 2014. Okay, yes. So we're coming up to your first year, pretty much. It's 11 yes. months. It's nearly 12 months.
Yeah.
And so what kind of numbers are you doing now? What sort of listings and sales? And tell me about that. Because this is from a yeah. standing start. I mean, this is not a lot of people get to do this. This is pretty awesome.
Yeah. On average now, I sit between 5 and 7 sales a month.
Right.
I have a goal. Yeah. So yeah, a bed start. I have a goal this year to do 58 sales. But it's more about really building the business this year.
Okay. Okay, that's really exciting. Congratulations. Yeah. So structurally, when you started, I know you're a locked-on user. Did you have locked-on right from the start, or did you set that up when you started your business?
Yeah, it was really locked-on. It was a couple of things, but locked-on was probably the main game-changer for me. I started to once I implemented locked-on into my business, it made me realise, like, how many opportunities that I was missing.
Okay.
And it customised my structure. So I had, it just simplified my life completely. What it allowed me to do is every day, my tasks would come up and I could have that visibility of what I needed to do, and I'd allocate time that I could do my tasks. And I kept my tasks simple. I haven't complicated, like too much communication, like just the fluffy bits that people don't really care about.
Yes.
And it just gave me flexibility, like if the children were sick, I could work from home.
Yep.
It was just, for me, it was a program that worked. So when I started the girls on in January, so as of January 2015, I employed 2 salespeople.
Right.
And I had already put every system, every flyer, like your just listed, just sold, how the templates will look like, everything was in the locked-on system. So all they had to do is, okay, what DNA are we pushing for this? And I just had to train them what DNAs, followed an event, pretty
right,
much.
Right, the follow-up trials.
And I am a little bit hard when it comes to the information. If the information, and what you've got to understand is the reason I've implemented all these is because these were my weaknesses. So once I overcome them, I made them a non-negotiable part of my business.
Okay.
Because I didn't want those things to sneak back in. And it's just as simple as, where are you for an appointment? That appointment should be scheduled in for safety reasons, for a lot of reasons. But, if there's a task to be done, it needs to be done. And but it's also too, so say for example, if we have a farm area and they need to record what they've actually done within that farm area. So when we have our one-on-ones, we can look at it, reassess on what they've done for the week. But if someone walks in our door for a listing and it's from out of someone's street that they actually work and there is no information, they're not going to, they're not going to benefit by me passing them over a listing
if they're not
doing it. And the hard lesson there is that they've just got to enter in their information on what they're doing.
Yeah, and which is something that so many people fail to do, amazingly.
Yeah, and what you don't realise is how much work you do on a property until you actually document every part of it. And I'll give you an example of that is we had a listing just recently and we had 76 inspections on that property. I would never have believed I'd done 76 inspections on that property.
Wow.
And I can tell you, my seller, the only reason they stayed with me is because obviously our communication, but they could see, they would always log on to their
into the vendor portal.
The vendor portal, and they could see the follow up I was doing with those people.
Wow.
And so look, the CRM locked on. I'm a huge fan.
That's
of
interesting. Well, I mean, This show is sponsored by Locked On, and I'm involved. But without a word of a lie, we didn't rehearse any of that. I just said to you, you're a Locked On user, and you went from there. So I know we did rehearse this call a little bit, but we didn't speak specifically about that. So before we move off that, I like to find this out from Locked On subscribers. But do you have a favourite feature? I mean, you just mentioned the vendor login, which I'm a huge fan of. But is there another feature that you like?
Look, I love the buyer match. We do a buyer match. We've only got it to once a week that we do a buyer match, just so that our buyers aren't being inundated, because we're dealing with a lot of the same buyers. But I love the SMS, the MMS, and I mean the DNA. I've got so many. I don't really have a particular thing, but the convenience of the follow-up is phenomenal.
Yeah, and cool.
It's so easy to use.
Have you had a chance to use the agent mail feature yet?
Yes, we have.
Okay.
Yes, we have.
Okay.
We have our mail out. I mean, it takes 2 seconds to do anything.
Yeah.
And, you know, really, and these are all the things that what I call, when I was saying that I lived in chaos real estate, that I was doing manually. And there are just so many, and there's so many ways that I find that you can learn to manipulate a situation with Locked On. You know, you'll put a tab in and then you'll search on that tab. Like, say, for example, if we have an event, that event will be put in as a tab, and then we mark it, you know, for the next year. It's just push that tab and bang, it goes out again. It's grabbing data or grabbing correct information from the database. And we've really got it down to statistics, so we know how, like, we might have a buyer April. So what I want to do is we can then analyze how many buyers we had into our business in April of 2014, and now what are our buyers in April 2015.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty sweet feature.
Yeah, so really following the statistics and being analytical of how our business is running and how it's growing, and making sure the girls understand that why this is so important for them, that, you know, if for them to be professionals and to be able to stand up and confidently say to someone, look, okay, in April 2014, we dealt with 68 buyers. 2015, we're now dealing with, you know, 96 buyers. Here's the difference.
Yeah, yeah. So what I find really interesting, and you've just hit on it, with top performers is their love of numbers and their ability to read numbers. And, you know, as far as online goes, the first time this probably happened was even before the larger CRMs came out, was when we could go to the stats on domain.com.au or realestate.com.au, and we could see the number of visits. So for the first time, we had a real measurement of interest. And that was something that I love speaking to my sellers about, because I was always able to say, hey, you know, we've had 1,500 views in the last 4 days and only 2 phone calls. There's something wrong here. So it was working the numbers always worked for me. And top performers are just so clever the way that they can quickly analyze their numbers. Even, and I know Aaron talks about where his buyers are coming from and the number of buyers coming from different sources. So he knows where to direct his vendor marketing and his property marketing and stuff like that.
Well, that was all a part of, for me, starting out as Bragg Real Estate too, because every buyer that I dealt with, the question I would ask them, and when we'd do the testimonial at the end, I'd say, what was the very first thing that attracted you to this property, you know? And
yeah, that's an interesting question.
And that was all recorded. So we actually knew, okay, we sold 48 properties. This is where the buyer came from. Now, it was just that we only researched, obviously, the buyers that purchased the property, but it's the same question when we list the property. What was the first thing that attracted you to our business? And all of that information is crucial.
Yeah, it's so valuable. It's so valuable, and it's wonderful to be able to reveal that at a listing presentation as well, because you're taking your potential client, you know, behind the scene and showing them what's going on in the inner workings of your office.
It's a listing tool without a doubt, because the confidence that I have that these are true figures, these are true factual figures of our real estate experience. I remember people would say to me, you know, or you would hear people say, oh, you know, I've got buyers on our database, and I'd be like, really? I don't have any, you know.
Yeah.
Then you have Locked On, and we have got 284 buyers actively that we are actively working with right at this very moment.
Yeah. And the ability to do that buyer match almost virtually live is exciting as well.
It's so powerful.
Yeah.
It's so powerful. Yeah, for sure.
Talk to me about, I call it community marketing, and each time we talk, you've told me about some of the community things that you've done, and I know that it's been so good for you and for your business and everything that follows after that. Can you tell me about how that's going, some of the recent, I think you had something leading up to Easter?
Yeah. With prospecting, again, this was all a part, and I keep going back to the journey that I've had in real estate and why I believe it was from 2013 that I became, that I started actually doing real estate properly. But my biggest weakness that I had was to prospect. I hated picking up the phone. I hated talking to, just doing cold calls. And I really didn't like real scripts and real dialogues. I didn't handle when people would talk to me like that. So it was just my personal little thing that I didn't enjoy. So I had to find ways that I could prospect with it and doing it that I was actually enjoying it. So like we sit down, you know, like okay for the year, and we sit down and work out what we're going to do and what are our points of contact. And it really came back to a lot of community work. Heaps and heaps of community stuff. So we do, what do we do? We do a suburb newsletter, and in that newsletter, it's got no real estate jargon about us. It's purely, it may be on the young girl that just made it for the Queensland rugby team, or it's just community involvement. And we do an Easter hunt. So we have a massive Easter hunt. We gave away 6,000 eggs this Easter. We have a Halloween night coming up.
Right.
We converted our Just Sold as well to set a little bit differently as well. So what we did is we have our Just Sold, which it'll have the statistics, who the buyer is, where did the buyer come from, how much was the property sold for, what was the result, how many offers, things like that. On the back, it's got the testimonial. But also now what we've done is we do marketing for a local business owner. So anyone that owns a business in Forest Gardens will be on that flyer. Now, the flyers are like top grade, top quality, and we have 20,000 of them printed. We only do those every quarter. And so we don't make flyers, you know, just sort of on the wing of, you know, everyday real estate.
Right. Right, okay. So you've sent me some of the information, some of the things that you've done, by the way, and with your permission, I'm going to put those in the show notes. So if you want to check that, if you're listening to this and you want to check it out, go to topagentsplaybook.com and you'll be able to see my interview with Nicole Bragg, and you'll be able to get all of that information and all the stuff that we're talking about. The Easter thing was a real success for you. We talked a bit about that before. Can you just expand on how you set that up? Because I think people would be, as a one-off event that you put a lot of time and effort into, I think people would be really interested to hear more about that.
Yeah, so like with the community events, it's one thing to connect with someone, but you've also got to have a strategy on how you're going to maximise those events, because that was my way of prospecting. I had to have strategies in place that that was actually being, you know, it wasn't just a feel good event. It was also that the strategy and the follow up that happened behind that. So with the Easter hunt, we had 314 egg hunters on the day. And so out of those 314, we had a professional photographer arrive. We had the Easter Bunny. We had face painters. But they had to sign a photo. They had to register and they had to give a photo consent form. And at the bottom of the photo consent form, they had to tick yes or no whether they wanted ongoing marketing or whether they wanted to be invited to events.
Wow.
So out of that, we got 58 new people to our database. Now, what's new to my database is only the people that live in my farm area.
Okay.
So the others will be documented, and they'll be documented for when the next suburb becomes, when I grow my business, and the next suburb will be someone else's farm area.
Okay.
But for ours, was 58 new people into our farm area. Now, 58 of those new people, so we're now already marketing to probably about another 100 of those people from you know, a building of data that we've created within the farm area of doing events. So out of those 58, we now have 96 children that will now receive a birthday card from Bragg Real Estate. But the birthday card is a little bit more, so in the birthday card, they'll get a free haircut from the local hairdressers. They'll get a Leamington from the local bakery, and they'll get a gift from the local IGA.
Nice.
So it just changes again, you know, about giving. But they will also receive, you know, the Bragg report. And in the Bragg report is you know, it's amazing information just on our suburb. So, or just, sorry, excuse me, just on our estate.
Right.
And look, when I look back at what the numbers were from last year, we had 149 people attend last year. This year we had 314.
Cool. So it's gathering momentum.
And we only had two people tick that they didn't want to receive further marketing.
Right.
So it certainly has, and that's because we've built a trust within the community. Outside of our office, we have a community motivational board, and on the motivation, every single day, a motivation quote is actually written on that board.
Yeah.
And when I
love that idea. It's such a simple idea, but it's all the junk that's out there that people throw at us to read. This is something. It's not selling anything. It's just sort of saying something. So what are some of the things that you actually put on there? Can you tell me what you put on there? Just give me some examples.
Like today, I've just wrote, make today a ridiculously amazing day. You know, it's not even sometimes it might be our local basketball team. It might promote them, but they are just that they're quirky, they're funny, they have Brian Tracy quotes, they're Zig Ziglar quotes. You know, it depends on the mood. We've then collected each one of our quotes that we've put on. And that will then be made into a like a little slideshow CD, you know, and which will do further marketing or maybe a book. I'm not quite sure how I'll work that out.
Yeah.
But that motivational board, just alone, Ray, has in since May, and we're talking 12 months, and these are just what I know, 6 direct listings.
Wow, is that right?
That's true.
You did you send me a photo of it? I don't think you did. Did you?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Okay.
I can send you another one. And it's so simple. It's not professional. Do you know, like, we get out there and we write on it every day.
I just want to put it in the show notes, that's all. I don't think it's here, but, yeah, love to see it.
I'll have one sent to you.
Because that's such a cool idea.
Can I tell you, as I said to you earlier, that I hate prospecting calls. I hate it. Now I love it.
Yep.
I'm a fan. and all I'll do is I just ring someone and I'll just say, hey, you know, it's Nicole. I haven't had the opportunity to meet you yet. I'm down at the local real estate. And if they say that they don't know, I'll say, you know, the place that's got the motivational board, oh, is that a real estate agency?
Yeah.
Oh, and the ice is broken. And
I found it, actually. I'm looking at it. Today's quote, or this one, successful people are simply those with successful habits. Brag quote of the day. I like it.
Yeah. And now that every single person in our estate has to drive past that sign every day.
Yes.
And yeah, it just works. It's simple. It's fun. But it's my icebreaker with prospecting.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. Everyone knows it.
You and I were talking about Facebook before, and this kind of speaks to that that discussion, because the attitude around something like this is kind of very Facebook-esque, isn't it? It's not in-your-face marketing. It's clever, intuitive, fun, engaging that makes people sit up and take notice. And let's face it, Nicole, I mean, you know, estate agents, if they don't know us, we don't have the best reputation in the world. And building a relationship from a cold start, from the ground up, has its challenges. And this is just one little way that you've broken down the barrier, and I think it's a really cool idea.
It's so easy, because you...
Why don't more people do it if it's so easy? What's that about? What do they say about common sense? It's not that common.
I guess this is all a big part of my little soul-searching moments I had, and I always, you know, come back to calling it chaos real estate.
Yep.
But just keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, be personable. Is that a word? I'm not even sure. Anyway, but, you know, like, just...
We know what you mean.
But just people... And look, the thing too, you know, is it's not who I know. And, you know, we've all heard this. It's how many people know us.
Yeah.
And that was easy. It was just, I put myself into a location, and all I did was give. And I hated cold calling. I wasn't ever cold calling. I don't cold call anymore. And if they don't know who I am and they live in the estate, they seriously live under a rock.
Yeah.
That's just, and I don't mean that in a derogative way to anyone, but we don't ask for anything.
Yeah.
We constantly give.
Yeah.
We constantly give. Hey, the information that we give.
You're singing my song, Give to Get Marketing. I mean, that's what makes my world go round, and it's been so good to me and so many best agents and locked on people over time. I'm just blown away that more people don't do it. And when you think about it, your formula for success was pretty easy. You simply did what the others weren't doing.
Yeah, yeah. More too, I think, I reflected on what I wasn't good at, and I wasn't good at prospecting.
Yeah.
And what I always considered prospecting is that I was talking on the phone.
Yeah.
Now talking on the phone is easy, because I believe so much in what I'm doing.
You know, it's interesting you say that, and you've just made me think, but prospecting in our industry is something of a dirty word, isn't it? And when you think, it'd be interesting to survey this, what people's instant reaction is to prospecting, but, you know, it's often people think, oh, I'm cold calling, or I'm knocking on a door, or I'm doing something that I hate, I'm out of my comfort zone and my boss told me to do it. But you've changed that totally around. You've turned prospecting into a community marketing engaging process that you and the ladies you work with, your team, you guys have fun doing it, and it's really helping your business.
Yeah, I just don't even see it as prospecting at all anymore. And to go and door knock, I actually like doing it, because most people can relate to something that I've done in the community.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, like their granddaughter had attended to the Easter hunt, or they'd come to the movie night, or, you know, that they've received our, you know, our brag report, they've received the community newsletter. We've really tried to tap into every kind of age group as a part of our community prospecting.
Yeah.
So the reason that we're doing the Halloween is purely because that's the age group of a family that aren't going to be at the Easter hunt.
Okay. And I've got a very critical question around this, but what are you going to dress up as?
I'm going as a witch. I've already got my costume.
With a broom?
It's awesome. I've got the broom. I have just gone, but I go ballistic with how I put on my event.
Okay.
You know, with Halloween that's coming on, I've already gone to the local fence company. We've hired all this fencing. It'll be a whole haunted car park. I've got, you know, like I've got, do you know, like the rubber tags that you put on your arm, the kids wear around their arms?
Yeah.
Well, it's they're Globe, but they're Bragg Real Estate. Everything's branded.
Nice.
Everything. They're, nice. Even for the Easter hunt, you know, like they all got Bragg water. It was every single thing is branded.
Nice.
And yeah, it's just. But with Halloween, it's so I make it an event that they can't forget.
Yeah.
As kids, and that they can't. That they don't want to miss out on next year.
As a real estate agent, I really think it gives you something to brag about.
Yeah, no,
it's pretty bad, wasn't it?
Look, the
I actually thought I shouldn't have done that.
The brag.
It's like wet paint. I have to touch it.
Yeah, it's worked well, but there's a real fine line, Ray, too, with doing community events. You've got to make sure that people see the serious side of you as well.
Of course.
Okay, that they take you serious. That, yep. Okay, it's fine that I put on all these community events, but can she sell houses? How good is she at selling houses? Our marketing is brilliant. I know that our competition doesn't compete with us with our marketing. You know, so in our brag report, you know, like in a bubble, it might say, you know, ranked number one and two. Bragg Real Estate achieved the first two highest sales since 2011.
Yeah.
You know, like there will be a bubble that, you know, it's quite subtle, but it's there. And
I think it really, I think that gives an indication of your personal confidence and the confidence of the business. Because if you weren't a confident company, with a confident outlook and a real care for your community, you wouldn't be spending these tens of thousands of dollars on these events. Or I know you're spending substantially. You just wouldn't go there. So I think as a property owner in the area, you're seeing somebody. Sure, they've got a vested interest, but they are investing in their local community, and that's what's making you stand out. And that is very good marketing, in my view.
Yeah, because they also see that it's not some, you know, half put on event. Like it's all on,
yep.
And they know that they've turned up and they haven't paid a cent.
Yeah.
And people have said to me, they're like, I can't believe that you pay for this.
Yeah,
you know, like they're just. Because, you know, kids are getting around. I mean, every second child had a big bunny. You know, there were 6,000 eggs. There was 1,000 novelties put out. You know, everyone got a bottle of water. It really doesn't cost a lot. You know, it might cost, say, for example, it didn't cost me $10,000, but, you know, $10,000 for an event, who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Who cares?
Well,
I've just now got 314 kids,
mm-hmm.
And, you know, two, 300 adults, yep. That just are blown away at an event.
Well, you got to keep, once you've started these annual events, the good thing is you got to keep going because there'll be expectations in 12 months' time, I guess.
That's all. Community events have got to be consistent. That's the one thing that I've certainly learnt. And whether it's a community event or whether it's, you know, giving someone to the community, whether it's our suburb report or whether it's our local newsletter or Halloween or movie night or whatever, it has to be consistent. So
yeah.
That's actually penciled in our diary. So we know our year in ahead on what events that we're actually doing.
Yep.
All the marketing is done long before, you know, I mean, it's almost done a year in advance for most of our marketing. So the thing is people think that we're busy doing that event, but that was done a year. Do you know what I mean? Like that was done in our spare time. You know, the rest of the time we're prospecting. All we do is prospect.
Yeah.
I'm hard. Like while we do community events, I want the girls to understand that I'm doing that for them. That makes their prospecting easy.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Because
totally.
That was my challenge, and I think it's a lot of people's challenge. So I've taken all of, you know, like all of. I've given them the opportunity to be able to, you know, to talk to people, to be in front of people. But the consistency of just prospecting is, you know, that's a non-negotiable event now for me.
Yeah.
And
well, that's building your pipeline. I mean, that goes without saying. We're out of time, but I want to ask you before we go. The question that I always love to ask a real estate professional at the end of our podcast, at the end of our interview, if you were starting out today, What advice would you give me if I was starting in real estate today, Nicole? What would you be? What are a few of the most important, I guess, daily actions I could be doing? Because, specific things. Because I know so many new people in real estate waste years, and our industry does churn out a lot of great people who get out of the industry because they didn't do the right things. What would you advise me?
Yeah, that's easy for me because I've spent 8 years on working out what I didn't like doing. So first part is what would be my best at? Learn to manage time.
Right.
Learn to manage what we in real estate agents think they've got too much free time. If you're at work, just work. Make people aware too that you manage your time seriously so that they don't have the right to interrupt your time, if that makes sense.
Yep, it does.
And the ability to be able to reflect on what your weaknesses are and to be able to find solutions on solutions on how to actually be better at your weaknesses find solutions to your weaknesses.
Yeah.
I hate anyone looking at what their competition's doing. I couldn't care less what they're doing.
No, don't worry about the competition. Focus on what you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely don't look at what the competition's doing. And always treat your business or treat everything that you're doing as that it's your business. Have the mentality, have that mentality that it's your business. You're reflecting to, you are you sort of thing.
Yeah, so, some ownership and accountability.
Definitely accountability of who you are. And once you believe in a brand, it's just easy.
Yeah, cool. All right. Hey, thank you. I'm going to let you get into your day. What's the weather like in Cairns this morning?
Oh, it's amazing. We're looking at about 25 degrees, blue skies, nice breeze blowing.
Oh, I'm jealous. I'm jealous. Yes. I'm going to get up there as soon as I can.
Yeah,
all right.
Definitely.
Thank you so much,
worries.
Nicole. And say hi to the team. Well done. Congratulations on everything you're doing. Keep it up. I'm looking forward to hearing more great things from you. And
no
I'm looking
worries.
Forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, Ray. See you later.
Bye now.
Been listening to the Top Agents Playbook podcast. For show notes from this episode, recent podcasts, and lots more, go to topagentsplaybook.com.